the more at how wonderful he is. He's absolutely staggering. And one of the things that staggers me the most about God is that he has chosen, he has deigned to come and live within us by his Holy Spirit. You know, we can talk about that quite glibly sometimes, but when you think about it, that is just staggering. Awesome. And the more we come to understand what God is like and how awesome he is, the more staggering that seems. That he's actually come to live within us by his Holy Spirit. And as staggering as it is, it's true. And it's a truth which actually defines what it means to be a Christian. If we were to come up with a definition of what is a Christian, that would be a very good definition. It would be someone who has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Because it applies to all Christians and doesn't apply to anyone who isn't a Christian. It is a defining truth. And if we were to go on and define what it means when we say Christianity, it means to actually live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. That essentially is what Christianity is, living by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's why, over the last few months, we have focused so much in our preaching and teaching on walking by the Spirit. Because it is essentially what Christianity is. Living by the Spirit of God, who is within us. And this is actually the last session in our series on this subject, for the time being, anyway. Next week, we move on to talk about the death and resurrection of Christ and the benefits that will flow to us from that. Our teaching session the following Thursday, as you heard, is about communion and what that means to us. And we'll be looking to answer some of those difficult questions that you might have about Paul's teaching on communion. So do make sure you come along to that, Thursday the 13th. And then, of course, we've got our Easter outreach service the next Sunday. And then the 2 weeks after that in April, again, we'll be continuing to look at the death and resurrection of Christ and the benefits that flow to us through that. So this is going to be the last session for the time being on walking by the Spirit. And as I come to this session, I will admit I have a concern. It's a concern that, in a way, we've got it with our heads, but that we haven't got it with our hearts. That, in a way, we understand the theory, but in a way, we haven't really understood the practical and lived it out. It's interesting that on a number of occasions in the New Testament where it talks about living by the Spirit, it's contrasted with living by the flesh or living by the unrenewed human nature. And living by that unrenewed human nature is how all of those who aren't Christians live their lives. All of the time. They have no choice. That is their nature. But we do have a choice as Christians. We can now live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've been given a new nature so that we can live by the Spirit, and that's what we're called to do. That is true Christianity. That is what we're meant to be doing all day. Every day. What do the two ways of living look like? Well, here are some examples. Living according to the Spirit means you listen to and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. It's pleasing to God. It means we're more concerned about our hearts and that our hearts are right before God. It means that we do what is right in God's sight. And it leads to life and peace, and it leads to the production of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Contrast that with living according to the flesh or the unrenewed human nature. That doesn't please God. It means we're more concerned about outward appearances. It means we try to obtain our goals by human effort alone. It means that we do what is right in our own eyes, and it leads to the gratification of the lusts and desires of that unrenewed nature. And in view of the New Testament teaching on those two, the contrast between them, and the fact that we have a choice, it gives me a concern. And my concern is not just that we will live according to that unrenewed nature rather than according to the Spirit, but they will do so without actually realizing that we're doing so, thinking that we're still living our lives in a Christian sort of way. And you may think, well, how can that happen? How can we be unaware of it? Well, there are some things that are very obvious about the works of that nature. The Bible gives us examples. Some acts of the unrenewed nature are sexual immorality, fits of temper, drunkenness. But actually, some might not appear so bad. And if you think about it, everyone who isn't a Christian is living by that nature all of the time. And we don't think that everything they do is bad or morally corrupt, do we? In fact, we think and know that there are some very nice people out there who are not Christians, seemingly doing good things. So the difference is not that they do bad or morally corrupt things, but rather they do what is right in their own sight. They live independently of God. They become, in effect, their own gods, which was the temptation way back in the beginning in the garden with Adam. They become their own gods. They live independently of the one true God, and that, in effect, is sin. And similarly, God's people can still be walking according to that nature rather than walking by the Spirit, even if they're not obviously living in a morally corrupt or bad way. And the Bible contains numerous examples of God's people who are actually living by the flesh. I'll just give you two, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. So in the Old Testament, Abraham was given a promise by God that he would bear a son. In fact, that he would become the father of many nations. But Sarah and Abraham thought that this was taking rather a long time. So they'd sort of hurry the process up a bit, speed up the fulfillment of God's promise. So they thought it might be a good idea for Abraham to have sex with Sarah's handmaid, her maidservant, Hagar. It was disastrous. They thought it was a good idea. In the New Testament, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to be going to the cross, that he's going to die. Peter says, oh, no way. this is not what I've got planned for you, Lord. No, this isn't going to be so. He clearly thought his way was better than Jesus's. Living according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. And isn't it a good job that Jesus was more attuned with what the Holy Spirit was saying to him? And even in our supposedly Christian service, we can be walking more by the flesh than by the Spirit. Let me give you some more examples. And I'm going to break these into three categories. So they're all W's, actually. So we start off with the W of walking by the Spirit. And within that, we've got worship, work, and witness. So you've got four W's. So this sermon may end up being called the four W's. And if that helps you to remember, that's fine by me. So firstly, let's look at worship. We're meant to worship by the Spirit. Is that right? In spirit and in truth. It's the worship the Father seeks. He's not interested in any other sort of worship. He's not interested in worship by the flesh. The true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and truth. They follow the leading and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as they worship. We can actually sing songs beautifully. We can play musical instruments brilliantly. Our production can be absolutely marvelous. But if our hearts aren't in it, it's not a heartfelt adoration of the wonderful God who's revealed himself to us by his word and by his Spirit, then it is not true spiritual worship. We're just going along with the traditions of men. We're worshiping according to the flesh. And I know how easy it is to stand up and sing the words that come up on the wall behind me. But if my heart is not in it, it's not true worship. And I know how easy it is to sing words about our lives being set apart for your glory and then go away and live lives that clearly aren't set apart for his glory. Worship in the flesh stops when the music stops. Worship in the Spirit carries on all of the time, every day, every moment of every day. God has called us to worship by the Spirit. Similarly, he's called us to work by the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father has actually created us for good works. He's prepared them in advance. And we fulfill that calling when we follow the Holy Spirit's leading. And he equips us and he enables us to do that work that God has called us to do. But we can also work in the flesh. In fact, we can work our socks off in the flesh. There's a quotation, it's attributed to a Christian preacher and writer called A.W. Tozer. Have some of you heard of him? He's quoted as saying this, that if the Holy Spirit was removed from the church today, then 95% of what the church does would carry on, and most people wouldn't notice the difference. However, with the New Testament church, the early church, if the Holy Spirit had been removed, 95% of what they had been doing would have stopped. And everyone would have noticed the difference. Sobering comment. But it's true that we can perform acts of worship. We can do lots of things supposedly for God, but it can be according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. And then there's that fourth W, witnessing. And it's actually in this area that the lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives is most evident, more obvious. Because if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit, we probably won't even have much of a desire to witness for Jesus. We probably won't have much of a desire to tell people about the Lord and Savior that we've come to know without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The Holy Spirit inspires us and empowers us to manifest the presence of God wherever we go in our lives and to speak prophetically into people's lives. We witness by the Spirit. And without the enabling of that Holy Spirit in us, the best that we can manage in the area of witnessing is often a Christian version of marketing. The same principles used by companies trying to sell us products, whether it be the latest iPhone 19 or some fancy car. You may not be aware of the principles of marketing. You are being subjected to them all of the time, let me assure you. You're being bombarded with them. Those who've studied marketing will be aware of the four steps of marketing. Let me briefly explain them to you. Number one, first step, capture the attention. Snazzy advertising, something that just grabs your attention. Number two, engage the audience. Give them a reason to keep listening. Number three, establish the need. Why is it that your life is going to be enriched by having the iPhone 19? Other brands are also available. And fourthly, call for action. Buy now. Sign up here. Do this. And actually, there's nothing wrong with any of that. And by God's amazing grace, he actually uses these things to bring people to him. People still come to know Christ. But however we do it, how much better it is for us to be witnessing by the power of the Holy Spirit within. As we also worship by the Spirit and work by the Spirit. This is how we are meant to live all day, every day. The Bible describes the mature sons of God as those who are led by the Spirit of God. That's what the Father wants for his children, that we be mature sons living by his Spirit, living like Jesus lived. He lived by the Spirit all the time. He only did what was right and pleasing in his Father's eyes. That is what our Heavenly Father wants for us. It's what Jesus has made possible for us, and it's what the Holy Spirit enables within us. And it's actually what the world needs from us. The world is longing for a revelation of the mature sons of God who are living by the Spirit of God. And I long to see a greater level of spiritual life in our church. Do you? Do you want this to be a Spirit-filled church? One thing that we need to appreciate is that the church is made up of individual people you and me. We are united in Christ, but we still have individual responsibility, each one of us, to live by the Spirit. And if this is going to be a Spirit-filled church, it's because each one of us is choosing to live by the Spirit. Unless individuals are revived, the church won't be revived. It starts with you and me. In fact, it actually starts with me. Send revival, Lord, and start with me. Start with me. Let me be the example. Another thing that we need to appreciate is that revival is from the inside out. True Christian faith is essentially inward in nature. Our natural human response can be to change external things. All sorts of external things. Let's have another type of meeting. Let's change the organization of the church. Let's have more socials. Let's extend the building. And actually, all of these may be good ideas. Not saying there's any problem with any of them. All I'm saying is that our tendency is to focus on external things. And you're not going to solve an internal problem with an external solution. God is more concerned about what goes on inside of us. He's more concerned about the heart. We have this tendency to try and focus on the external things, when what's needed is an internal transformation. The revival of the individual, addressing what is lacking in our spiritual life, requires an internal change, an internal revival, revolution. It requires, firstly, a recognition that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing at all that is pleasing to God. Not a thing. Secondly, it requires, because of that, a cultivation of our relationship with the Holy Spirit as an absolute priority in our lives. Each one of us has a responsibility to do that, to cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit day in, day out. And thirdly, it requires trusting in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledging Him. In all our ways, in everything we do, acknowledging Him. Trusting in Him. Looking for the leading of His Holy Spirit. The amazing thing is that God has made the way for us to live like this. But we're actually responsible for choosing to go that way every day. God actually provides the power. But we're responsible for drawing on God's power, on God's strength through prayer, through meditation on His word, through true Christian fellowship. God has lit the fire within us. But we're responsible for fanning the flames. We're responsible for keeping that inner fire kindled. Even in his letter to Timothy, Paul's apostolic co-worker, he felt it necessary to remind him, fan the flames, stir up the gift, fan the flames. We need to do it constantly. Fan the flames. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit so that we can live like mature sons of God. Walking, worshiping, working, witnessing by the power of the Spirit and having the impact on the world around us that God has called his mature sons to have. Is that what you want? It's what I long for. It's what I long for. Each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us. Why don't we fan the flame this morning by opening our hearts to God? If you want to know more of the Holy Spirit moving in your life, if you want to be more led by the Spirit, if you want to walk by the Spirit, worship by the Spirit, work by the Spirit, and witness by the Spirit, let's invite him to come in. Let's do what we've said in those songs about yielding our lives, setting them apart for his glory. But don't let's just do it today and then walk out and forget it. It's something we've got to apply every day, every moment of every day, if we're going to walk by the Spirit. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. It really is awesome that you've given your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. That you dwell within us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for all the signs of the life of your Spirit that we see in this church. We rejoice in it, Lord. We thank you for it because it's your work. It's your Holy Spirit that's moving. And we want you to be glorified. So, Lord, we thank you for every sign of the life of the Spirit in this church. But, Lord, we long for more. We long for so much more. God, that we might have the impact on this world that you've called us to have. That our lives would be transformed so that we're walking like mature sons of God, living in all the benefits that you've accomplished for us. God, we open our lives to you. We open our lives to you. We hunger and thirst for more, Lord. Hunger and thirst for more, because nothing else satisfies like this does. It's what we were made for. So come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome your presence in our lives. Help us to be more sensitive to you, more aware of your presence, more aware of your leading. Oh God, awaken us to the reality of your Holy Spirit within. Awaken us, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us now. Help us now. Blow through. Blow through the caverns. Blow out the cobwebs. Refresh us. Renew us. Give us ears to hear your voice. Heart sensitive to you.